Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
So we gave up 25 a game. Second to last in sacks, 20th in yards per play allowed, 23rd in scoring defense. These are not great numbers. This is why your defensive coordinator deserved to be fired. I think the frustrating thing for me was, and this is just on a personal level, this is not a shot at the Falcons, shouldn't have taken 6 days. Like, this should have happened the day after the game, the last game of the season. We all saw it. These numbers have been there. This is nothing that has changed between, you know, the last 3 weeks of the season, Mike, and the end of the year. And yet they went through this evaluation process, which, okay, fine. But we all saw it. And so, as I said, I wasn't looking for a sacrificial lamb. He didn't do the job. I need people that are going to do the job. And so where do we go and how do we get better defensively?
Yeah, and just for guys who missed the beginning of the show, the timing on this. I mean, the general manager gets up to speak on Thursday. And then, you know, Saturday we find out the coach got. It's just, it's not the way an organization is supposed to work. And I'm sure somebody will get their bees in a bonnet or their panties in a twist up there at Flower Branch. You know, okay, so the media comes, we talk to the general manager, what are we going to do? Well, we're still evaluating. And then then I'll wait another day for you to fire the coach, and then you can address why you fired the coach and what are your plans for fixing the defense, which got the coach fired. Because you don't draft the right guys. Look, I mean, I will not fault Fontenot for rolling the dice with Judon and with Simmons. They just weren't consistent. Simmons got two interceptions. Judon had a couple of sacks, but more times than not, they were out of place and just not bringing the heat. But you have not drafted well enough to give anybody confidence. You should be picking these guys moving forward, but they're going to roll the dice with Fontenot for another year. And I hope the outcome is different, whether it's Robert Saleh or whoever they decide. I mean, it's funny, Ryan Nielsen was the guy. I remember a lot of fans were like, well, maybe stay with Nielsen. And you said it. You pointed out coaches have their guys. In this case, coach made a mistake of bringing a guy in Jimmy Lake, it looks like, who never had the experience that he was tasked to do.
Yeah, and you know, here's the thing. You don't know until you know. I mean, John Harbaugh, guys, is a special teams coach. He's been great. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's built a culture with the Ravens that nobody ever expected. You don't know until you know. But you get a chance, and I just like the fact. Here's the one thing I will commend the Falcons about. They didn't stay the course. We thought they were with the way this thing was going. Like, okay, nobody's been fired in 3 or 4 days. What's going to happen? Nothing. They didn't stay the course. I'm not saying change to change, but sometimes you have to change because it's blatantly obvious.
And I will say this, though. I mean, it's a great example of Harbaugh because whoever thought, like, a special teams coach? But then you also go back and look at the culture. That's Ozzie Newsome. That's a team which the owner stays out of it. You know, I mean, and the team is run by a general manager. No, Ozzie eventually, you know, became just a consultant, but
he built it.
Decades and decades of the right, drafting rock star after rock star on defense. I mean, and having continuity.
Mike, you know who his last pick was? Lamar.
Bingo. And making the determination we are going to tailor this offense and how we're going to approach the draft to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. He was the guy that was said, you know what, we're going to take him. I'm on my way out, but we're going to take him. Look at what happened. So you're absolutely right with the Ozzie. But I just think like that's the part about this where you can't fault Raheem for giving a guy a shot. I would have faulted him for staying the course, and we didn't do that.
Now, in hindsight, because – and this is an argument I got into last week with a couple of guys. Like, this is not Raheem's first experience as a head coach. He was a head – now, granted, one of the youngest head coaches in NFL history, but still a head coach. And he had 3 years, and then eventually he was an interim for 15 games with the Falcons, and he was in a great organization with the Rams that Les Snead has built and Sean McVay is coaching. But, I mean, he's been in the league for 23 years. So some would say maybe do you go with the veteran as a DC or you go with the veteran as an OC? I think we all like the Zach Robinson hire. I think we did. Didn't really know much about Jimmy Lake. It's not like we're making this up, guys. We go back to how you and I felt about this back in February, March last year.
No, I mean, the thing with Zach was I thought he would put his own spin on what he already knew and what they were trying to attempt to do in L.A. And I think he did. If you look at Kyren Williams and his production and you look at what our guy and Bijan Robinson has done, it's very similar, Mike. They used him in very similar ways. I mean, if you want to try to, you know, apples for apples and say who's Puka Nacua and who's Cooper Kupp, That's pretty much how this thing went. But I will tell you, Drake London, guys, I don't know if it's me. You tell me. Last 3 weeks with Penix, he looked different.
Right.
He
right.
looked different. And I think that connection between him and Penix, like, that's going to get better. We still need another guy opposite of him. I love Darnell Mooney. He didn't play that last week of the season. But whatever we got from him with Kirk Cousins, and I don't know what that was, like, if we get that consistently, but we still need another guy.
Now, the thing with Kyle Pitts is, do you feel that if Kyle wants to put the work in, and as two coaches and a general manager said, be the best Kyle Pitts he can be, that Penix Jr. will untap the full potential of this guy? You know, that dart that he throws to him gets him in the end zone in the Commanders game that we should have won, you know, I mean, or at least had a better shot to win. I you know, you and I are kind of lukewarm on Pitts, but do you feel there's a future for him with Penix? This would be the last year.
Yeah, it is. And for me, I'm ready to move on. That's just where I'm at. Now, if he's on the team next year, I'll cheer him on because I want my team to win. But I'm ready to move on. I've seen enough. I've seen the lack of production. I've seen the criticism outside and inside of the organization about what Mike's talking about. What more do we need? Like, we should never be questioning whether a guy is doing his job to the fullest at right. any position. That should never be questioned. What we should be questioning is play calling, right time of play calling, clock management, the things that play out in a season that sometimes, you know, it happens. I should never be questioning. You know who I don't question? You know a guy I don't even ever have to question whether or not he's giving it what he needs to give it his position? Jesse Bates.
Right. Grady Jarrett.
Every day.
Right.
I mean, we could go down the line.
There's dudes who do their job. You must be the other guy, as they say, the departed.
Like, that's my issue. Like, if you're telling me that you're at a job and you have to question a guy's effort or whether or not he's doing the right things, he's the wrong guy. It's that mm-hmm. simple.
Right. If you're having that conversation, it's a conversation you shouldn't even be having. Especially, you know, you and I talked about this. Some guys feel we're too hard on Pitts. You know, whenever he's doing what he's doing, if he's not doing what he's doing, that's all on tape. The other guys see that, receivers see that, people, the defensive players see that. So, I mean, we joke around about it, but the line from any given Sunday, where's your pride?
You'd
like to think that somehow affects him, or does he just simply shrug? You know, hey, man, it's just my job. I'm just paid to catch football. It's my job. What was the line? I just work here.
I just work here.
That was it.
I just work here. Hey, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Turtle, let's get to 4th and 1. Another coaching job open now with the Dallas Cowboys as Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones could not come to an agreement. They were negotiating, guys, but again, I think it had to do with length of time more than the number, and Jerry wasn't willing to do that. So whatever that means, they are parting ways. Meanwhile, Mike, we do have a game tonight. Wild Card Weekend continues. Vikings-Rams. It's a neutral site. What do you think here?
Well, it's funny. I saw some of the guys on the Talking Heads last night on Football Night in America. A lot of folks just feel that if you don't like Sam Darnold or you're still waiting for the shoe to drop, the Lions game kind of perpetuated that argument that I'm still not sold on him, not sold on giving him a big contract and everything else. Now, they certainly got him out of his comfort zone and he rushed some throws. Well, I think that, you know, Jared Verse and Braden Fisk and all the other dudes they've got, they got some studs on that defense. They've drafted so well the last 2 years in L.A., kind of the antithesis of what we've done. But this is a team that I trust Matthew Stafford more in this experience, maybe the last go-around. They can get hot. That's a good enough team where they can get hot, make a run. So I'm still feeling the Rams tonight, even though it is that neutral site. Don't trust Darnold.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I know it's a lazy narrative, but I'd like to give you a fresh take. I don't trust Darnold.
Yeah. Listen, for all the things he's done this year, if they lose this game, guess what the narrative remains to be? That he right. can't win these kinds of games.
Now, we can change that by go getting it done.
Right.
And then go get paid.
Now, they won a lot of games this season. Hell, they beat us, you know, at the end of the mm-hmm. year. I mean, so... And that was a game, again, I look back, Mike, and I'm going, how did this game go from being 21 to 21 to all of a sudden a blowout? Like, that just turned so quickly, but we gave up all those big plays and explosive right. plays to them. Vikings are a 2.5-point favorite tonight. And here's the crazy thing. The winner will head to Philly to take on the Eagles in the divisional round. And I just think they're a juggernaut right now. I just feel like they are on one and playing really well. And whether it's the Vikings or the Rams, that's going to be a tough challenge. The winner will head to a Philly next week.
Commanders are heading to D.C. to take on the Lions. Dan Campbell went our sister station in Detroit and said that it looks like David Montgomery will be good to go.
Oh.
So you're going to have, I guess, what's the nickname? Sonic and Knuckles, right? So they'll be good to go. Yeah, so it looks like the Knuckles component, right, because Sonic is Jahmyr Gibbs, but will be good to go. Dan Campbell says he's putting the work in. Quote is, he's a huge part of us to me. He's a bell cow tone setter, and it looks like he will be ready to roll next weekend when they do take on the Commanders.
That's big. I mean, that's big. And they're good without him. They're so much better with him.
Right.
Because the element that he adds to that offense. And As far as, you know, finishing up Wild Card Weekend, we've been talking about all the games this weekend. The one common denominator, guys, for the teams, most of the teams that lost, I mean, Bo Nix didn't throw a pick, but they just got overwhelmed by the Bills. All these quarterbacks turned it over, Mike. Lamar didn't turn it over, right? Think about the teams that won. Josh didn't turn it over. You know, Jalen had a good game. But it was the defense that was so dominant in that game. And then the Washington game. Think about, you know, Jaden Daniels and how he performed last night. That's the common denominator. And I only bring that up to say, all these other positions, yes, we do need help. But, man, if you got that guy quarterback, it's such a different deal.
Right. And, you know, everybody was hyping Jordan Love. One game, as we know, doesn't define you. But this is a setback because Jordan Love was a mess. He was a rock star in Dallas a year ago, and he couldn't get anything right. I do also feel that, man, every time you turned and if you went to go get some cheese doodles or whatever, you went back, look at the TV, there's a Packer getting carted off the field.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, they lost a platoon of guys on both sides of the ball. I thought at times Jalen Hurts looked like a guy that hadn't played in 2 weeks off a concussion. But Saquon did what he does, man, 119 yards. Rolling out there. The one thing, we'll talk more about this in Guy Talk, A.J. Brown, not a factor. One catch, 10 yards, more news made about the book he was reading on the sideline. But that's something I think they will certainly be able to fix. But I just, man, the Packers, they were so close. There were just plays that needed to be made. And they just couldn't seem to do it. The only guy that seemed to be rolling. See, when Josh Jacobs was carrying guys and they got on the next play, he was like goal, first down and goal to go. How about the Goddard, stiff arms? When Goddard's going down the sideline, there were some really cool sequences in that game where you're like, man, it was like serious playoff football.
Hey, Russ, Packers, by the way, are 0-6 versus teams with 11 wins.
Mm.
They're 11-1. In all other games. Teams that are 11 or better, 11 wins, they struggle against. And Mike, you saw it, but Turtle said this. They lost everybody. You mentioned it. Their top three wide receivers out of the game. Guys, even if they found a way to win that game last night,
right.
I don't know what they do next week. I mean, seriously, like I don't even know how you would have approached it.
Yeah, Dobbs is out. You saw him getting carried off
in the
locker room. Yeah, I mean, they literally would have been, they're about as bad as where Detroit was about 6 weeks ago.
Yep. And you don't have that kind of time in the playoffs. Hey, man, coming up, game balls, no balls. Yeah, man, no man's on the way as well. It's Monday. We're recapping all the things that went down over the weekend. Also, in the 4 o'clock hour, our buddy Connor Riley is going to join us to talk about the Dogs and much more here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.